Father, thank you again for these ladies and providing us a way to meet together, Lord. Thank you for this event and all of the hands that have come together to help make this possible. We pray that as we get into your word today, that you speak to each and every one of us, Lord, and that you remind us of the true comfort and the true joy that is found only in you. We are so grateful for you, Lord, for everything that you've done in our lives and for everything that you are still doing. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the world is constantly looking for comfort and joy, especially during the Christmas season. Watch any Hallmark Christmas movie, walk through the Christmas aisle at any store, or ask someone what they want for Christmas, and it is often centered around their comfort and their joy. The world sells the coziness of a fire, Christmas lights, a warm cup of coffee, tea, hot chocolate, a holiday romance, the newest and latest technology, newest fashion trend, newest book, and so on, as the comfort and joy of the Christmas season. And in doing so, they miss out on the true comfort and joy that is offered in Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the Christmas season. It's my favorite time of the year. And I'm a sucker for a good Hallmark movie. A good Hallmark Christmas movie especially. I love them. I love a cozy fire. I love giving gifts. And I love all the festivities of the Christmas season. Again, it's my favorite time of the year. I love all of it. However, these things will never bring the true comfort and the true joy that is offered through Christ. Today we're going to be in Isaiah 49, and this actually prophesies of Jesus and what his ministry would bring to the people. And so that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to be in Isaiah 49, and we're going to be looking at what did Jesus' ministry bring for you and for me? What did it bring for us? So let's look in verses 8 and 9. And it says, "Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and of the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth, to those who may say to the prison, or to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the roads, and their pastures shall be on all desolate heights." So again, remember the context of this. We are in the middle of what's prophesying of Jesus. And Jesus' ministry looks like he was born, he came to the earth, then he died on the cross for each and every one of our sins. Then he rose again, then ascended to heaven, and then there's a period of time where we're again waiting for him to come back. And so when Isaiah was written, the context of this is prior to Jesus' birth. So this is prophesying of what he is going to be doing on the earth. And here, you know, we are in that waiting period. He's already come. He's already died on the cross. He's already rose. But now we're waiting for him to come back. And so in verse 8, we can know that this was true. It's prophesying of how Christ died on the cross for our sins and how the Lord preserved him. And we know that that is true because we're on the other side of that. We already seen that happen. And so again, verse 8, we can see that the Father preserved Christ during his ministry on this earth, and he brought him to fulfill the ultimate sacrifice for you and for me. And that was the day of salvation. Jesus' death on the cross reconciled the world to God. He stood in our place, received the punishment for our sins. And you know, we were unworthy of relationship with the Lord. We were against him. We are sinful people in nature. And we deserved the punishment that Christ paid on the cross for our sins. But he was born for the purpose of bringing us to salvation, of reconciling us to the Lord, to the Father, so that we can have a direct relationship with him. His death released us from the Old Testament law, and it brings us into a new covenant with God. And then Christ's renewing grace continually releases us from the dominion of sin. You are not a slave to your mistakes, to societal pressures, to your temptations, or the evil of the world. It is through Christ and Christ alone that we experience true freedom from these things. It doesn't matter what mistakes you made prior to becoming a Christian. It doesn't matter what mistakes you made yesterday what mistakes you made this morning. It doesn't matter what society tells you you should be. It doesn't matter what your family tells you you should be. It doesn't matter what struggle you're going through. That matters, but it doesn't have to have a weight to you, because we are released from that. We have freedom as a son, as a daughter of God. And we can trust that he will give us perseverance through our day-to-day, through our challenges, through our difficulties, through even the good times, even the comfort of the holiday season, that God will give us perseverance and that he will give us comfort and joy. He preserved Christ while he was on the earth, dying for us. And he will preserve you and me. And in that, in a relationship with him, we can experience this comfort and this joy. Let's move on to verses 10 through 12. And that says, they shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of water he will guide them. I will make each of you my mountains a road, and my highway shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, those from the north and the west, and these from the land of Sinim. So here we see that God will sustain and provide a way for his people. There is absolutely nothing in the way of God's blessings. The mountains or the trials or the difficulties in our lives are allowed there for a specific purpose. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, you can go to your mountain and meet your obstacles with Jesus. You're not apart from Jesus, but you're walking with him to that mountain through it with the Lord. And when you do that, the mountain that seemed to stand between you and God's blessings can become a way into it. It brings you closer to God. It's often through challenges that we cling to God and see that he is the only one who can get us through them. And in talking about this, I'm actually reminded of July of 2020, sitting in my OBGYN's office and waiting to check on my baby for my third pregnancy. And I was sitting there all alone because it was COVID. My husband was not allowed in with me. And she does the procedure. She checks everything. Everything looks good. And then it comes time for the ultrasound. But everything has been looking good. And I've had this doctor for a while. She'd been with me through two previous miscarriages. And so she places the ultrasound wand on, and I can just see on her face that something's not okay. And then I hear those words, I'm sorry, but there's no heartbeat. And she turns the screen to me, and I look on the screen, and I see my child. And the baby looks healthy. He looks perfect. He or she looks perfect. They are measuring to the day of what I calculated my due date was, but there was no heartbeat. So I don't know when, that morning, that hour, the day before, I don't know when, but the baby's heart stopped beating. And in that moment, I so badly wanted my husband there. But because of COVID, I was alone. And then I walked out of that office. Thankfully, he was outside. But then we went home, and him and I again were alone. Because of COVID, we couldn't have our friends or our family over. And so in this time, when we wanted what we felt was the comfort and the joy of our friends and our family, we couldn't have that. And in this time when we didn't know what was going on, again, the baby had appeared perfect in the ultrasound. We had tests done. There was no reason for us to be having our third miscarriage or for this to be our second miscarriage where my body was fine, the baby seemed fine, but the heart stopped beating. There was no reason for any of this. And we were alone. But in that moment of loneliness, of uncertainty, of desiring the comfort of my family, of my friends, of a community in my home that we couldn't get, the Lord was there. The Lord got us through that. And, you know, it doesn't mean that it was easy. It doesn't mean that it was easy to get through that moment. It doesn't mean that a loss or a difficult moment you were feeling is easy. But in those moments where you feel like you are completely alone, when you feel like nobody can help you, or when you are desiring the comfort of something that's not there. The Lord is there to comfort you and to get you through that. And there is joy in that. There was joy even in the midst of this hurt of having a third miscarriage. There was joy because I knew what my God had done for me. I knew the death that Christ paid on the cross for my sins. I knew the salvation that he brought me. I had hope in the future that he had planned for me. I had hope in potentially having another kid. And as many of you guys know, he did bless us with our son Samuel in May. So I had hope in that, but I also had hope that even if that didn't happen, even if the Lord didn't answer our prayer to have a child, even if I still go on to have more miscarriages when we try to have more kids, God is still good. And his plan for my life, his plan for the world, the future that he has planned for the world, is so much greater than any moment of discomfort that I might feel. And in that moment, that brought me closer to the Lord. And then another thing that helped, that brought me comfort, was though I was suffering, though this was a difficult moment, I was reminded of Christ, of the suffering that the Lord paid on the cross for each and every one of our sins. And in that moment of suffering, I felt like I was closer to Jesus because I was able to just know just a little bit of that pain that his suffering had, that little bit of what his sacrifice for me was like. And so in that moment, that comfort brought me closer to the Lord. And in that moment, there was still joy. And that's what having a relationship with the Lord is like, having a relationship with Jesus, is that even in the difficult moments, we continually can be comforted. Even in the good moments, we can have this comfort and we can have joy in the Lord because of what he has done for our in our lives, for what he's going to do, and for who he is. And this true joy, it doesn't pass away. This true joy is constantly there. And even if we are not delivered from that mountain that we are on, from that obstacle, even if we are not delivered from that, we can have faith in his plan and have joy in that. And we can trust that that mountain is a way to bring us to the Lord in this life or with the future hope. But either way, whatever obstacle, whatever moment you are going through, the Lord will get you through it. And because of that, because of what God has done and what God is doing, we praise him. Let's finish off today with Isaiah 49:13. That says, "Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted." We find comfort in the promises and blessings of God, and we have true joy in Christ. And a natural result of that comfort and joy is to praise God. A natural result of us being continually comforted by the Lord, finding joy in the Lord, should be to this praise. Praise God. I praise God for not only giving me my son, but every little thing that he has done in my life. Even right now, when it feels like things are going great, I know my comfort is only there because of God. And the joy that I have is because of the Lord. And I praise him for the good, and I still praise him in the bad. And we can each do that as well. No matter what moment you are in, no matter what's going on in your life, what hurt you are feeling, maybe what loneliness you are feeling, maybe what happiness and joy you are feeling because it's Christmas time. It doesn't matter. Whatever good emotion, whatever bad emotion, we can praise God because he has comforted each and every one of us, and he brings us joy because of the work that he did on the cross. Again, this Christmas season, we're focusing on Jesus' birth, and that birth was with a purpose for each and every one of you, for me, for your friends, for your family. That birth was to bring us salvation, to bring us to the Lord. And so we can enjoy the Christmas festivities. We can enjoy our tea, our coffee, our treats. We can enjoy the fires, the Hallmark movies, whatever you do for your Christmas festivities. We can thoroughly enjoy those things and know that when we take our tree down, when January 1st comes around, when the Christmas season ends, our comfort and joy is not going to end with it. Our comfort and joy is continual because of the relationship that we have through Christ. And if you look at the world, you look at them during this magical time of the Christmas season, where everybody seems to be cheerful, happy, giving gifts, enjoying the lights, the trees, the everything that comes with it. When you look at the world, they will be comforted and have joy in this moment. But as soon as a challenge or an inconvenience or the tides, the seasons change, that comfort and joy is lost. And so for each of us who has relationship with the Lord, we don't have to worry about that, because our comfort and joy is based off our relationship with the Lord. And we will have that every single day, every single moment. And as a result of that, we get to praise God, praise Him for Christ's birth, for Christ's death, for Christ's resurrection, and for what He is going to do in the future. Well, so with that, let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank You so much for the comfort and the joy that You bring us. For the true comfort that we have only through our relationship with You. I thank You for sustaining us in the good, in the bad, and in all the moments in between. I thank You for everything that You are doing in our lives, Lord, and for the way that we can praise You from that, Lord. You deserve all the honor, all the praise, because of who You are. And I am so grateful for the work that Christ did on the cross for our sins, and for the way that His that relationship with Him influences our day-to-day lives. And if you are here today and you have never accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, if you have never personally made a commitment to say, I believe in Christ's death, I believe in His resurrection, and I trust that Jesus will provide me salvation and forgive me of my sins. If you are here today and you have never accepted that gift, but you would like to today, you would like to accept this free gift, if you would like to experience this true comfort and joy that we have in Christ, why don't you go ahead and raise your hand? I would love to pray with you today. Anybody here who would like to give their life to the Lord? And if you are here today and you've already given your life to the Lord, you have a relationship with God, but you are having difficulties feeling a continual comfort and joy through Him, if maybe something's getting you down, or maybe you are highly influenced by culture's facade of comfort and joy. But if you would like prayer and your growth and your reliance on the Lord for this true comfort and joy, why don't you go ahead and raise your hand today? Amen. 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 Father, we thank You for my sisters. We thank You for the way that You provide us comfort and joy. And we ask that You are with these who rose their hands, Lord, that You are helping them lean on you for their comfort and joy in every moment, in the good and in the bad. And we ask that when the Christmas season ends, or when culture's view of what comfort and joy is changes, that our comfort and joy will stay the same, because it is rooted in you, Lord. And we praise you. We praise you for these women, for their relationship with you, and for the way that you are working and have worked in their lives. And because you have provided each and every one of us with your comfort and with your joy, and with the best gift of all, the best gift we could ask for this Christmas season, our salvation, Lord, we praise and we honor you. We are so grateful for everything that you have done. We ask that you continually work in our lives, Lord. Continually draw us closer to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.